This is Saturday Live. Do send all your thoughts and comments in. We are speaking to Mr. Gwynne a little later, who is a grammarian. And we are, as I said before, all frozen in fear or by fear or with fear. I don't know which to use because he's been taking notes as we've been speaking. Anyway, more from him later. It's just after 20 past nine. Now, Lucas Hayward is also here this morning with his father, Leighton. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being here this morning. Lucas is 17, in the first year of his A-levels, training to be a roofer like his dad. He designs websites as well. Lucas had a very difficult start, though. He was born with facial disfigurement, and at school he was very badly bullied, both physically and emotionally. Now he's working with the charity Changing Faces and is one of their champions. He's trying to change attitudes and tackle prejudice. Lucas, first, would you be able to describe the condition you were born with?
My condition is called frontal nasal craniofacial dysplasia. The frontal bit means the front of my face. Nasal, my nose. Craniofacial is the lopsided shape of my head, and dysplasia just means that it's not really formed properly.
Hmm. So if you were to describe the way you look, how would you do that?
I'd say that I've got a nose which is larger and flatter than most people's, and that my head is slightly lopsided.
When did you first then realise that you look different to other people?
I knew right from the start that I looked different to other people, but it wasn't a problem until I'd gone to primary school, because when I was being raised at home with my family, no, it wasn't a big deal, because everyone, you know, they're all caring and they're all family members. It was only really once I got to primary school and other people started pointing it out that I realised that it's going to be a problem, because I think it was on the first day that a girl came up to me and said, "Oh, what's wrong with your face?" And none of my family members had ever done that, because they knew me and it wasn't a big deal.
So you didn't think there was anything wrong with your face?
I didn't. I knew that I looked different, but I thought everyone looked different, so it wasn't that big a deal. It was...
It wasn't off the sort of scale of difference of anybody else. It was just your face.
Yeah, yeah. It's like everyone looks different to each other sort of thing.
Mm. Yes.
So I went home and I said to my parents, why does this girl ask this? And my dad just said, "Well, it's because you look different than people would expect you to look."
Yeah, hard thing for you actually, Leighton, isn't it? I mean, because Lucas was very ill when he was born, and it was that you were concerned about, really.
That's right. Yeah, when Lucas was born, we found out in the delivery room that obviously we saw that there was a problem with the formation. We had no idea. We, you know, 8.5 pound baby, nice and fit and healthy, and there he is. It's a bit of a shock, obviously. We find out that Lucas had a thing called TOF, where it's tracheoesophageal fissures, which means that his stomach wasn't joined to his esophagus. And all of a sudden, the delivery room was filled with doctors, and they were doing litmus tests, dipping, trying to find, see if there was stomach acid, this sort of thing. Then everybody's looking at each other, it gets frantic, and he's taken from there, the Leicester General, down to the infirmary for surgery.
Gosh, how terrifying for you and Dawn, your wife. That
must be horrible. You know, it was a big shock at the time.
Did they fix it?
Think so.
I mean, it's fine now, but how long did it take for them to do it?
It's a major surgery.
Yeah.
He was put into intensive care after they'd operated on him. And it's just all the time they were trying to explain, we've scanned him and we found out that this is a midline problem when he was forming. What you can see on the outside is a reflection of perhaps what's happened on the inside as the fetus was developing and didn't quite form.
So you're worrying about all this and getting him well. And
of course.
So when it came to the first day of going to school, you presume got all that excitement that parents have when their child goes off to primary school.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
What did you think was going to happen, and were you aware?
Yes, we were aware that Lucas was going to walk a different path to other children anyway. We'd worked hard and we'd got Lucas onto He wasn't onto solid foods until he was nearly 4 years old, because he had with having an operation and it was pulled up tight. There was always a problem of reflux, and we were it was a long road, trust me. But we were happy and we got him to school, and then you find out that amongst his peers, when he's on his own with his peers, the reactions that he was receiving were new, because when parents are not there, you're not part of that equation. So this was something else that was starting, yes, to unfold, you see.
Yeah. And Lucas, how did you prepare yourself for going into school when you were getting that level of bullying?
I just didn't think about it. I wouldn't want to go to school, but I did know that I needed to go to school to get an education. And to be honest, I didn't want to let the bullying get in the way of that either.
Yes, of course.
I still wanted to go to school.
He was incredibly stoic. He was
very brave to do that, to go in day after day. You didn't tell your parents you wanted to leave or anything like that?
No, I didn't. I just carried on. I did tell them that the other children were calling me names, punching, kicking me, spitting on me and stuff, but
punching and spitting. And were you aware of all this, Leighton, when you came here?
This is something that was unfolding through the primary school. Yes, he would come home. He needed to wear glasses, really. He still does, but won't. He went to school with a pair of glasses on, and the very first day he come home and somebody stamped on. It got to a stage where bullying Lucas was a game.
It seems odd that that's at primary school. I've often seen children turn nasty at secondary school, but at primary school often children seem to have less keen a sense of difference. Why do you think that it turned nasty so quickly with Lucas, with you, Lucas?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily just the children. Because I was, some of the names I was being called were Pig Nose, Elephant Man. Elephant Man was one of them.
Which primary school children
wouldn't
have.
No, they wouldn't know that, would they?
Exactly. So that could only be coming from someone who would know it, so it must have been the parents.
Yes.
Or another older influence. So the behaviour that the other children were having was a reflection of how their parents were reacting.
Talking in the background, yeah. Or conversations they've overheard. So if you hear your parents talking like that, then perhaps they're granting permission to go out into the world.
It's just that the parents would never have said out loud in front of you, Lucas, or in front of you, Leighton, but the children are perhaps hearing it at home.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of an eye-opener when you live in a small village. Yeah.
And you were advised, Lucas, to see an educational psychologist because the school said that you were underperforming in some way. And what was the assessment when you got it back?
Yes, that was a turning point. The psychologist said that Lucas was more than able. At 9 years old, he had a reading age of 14, 15, I think it was.
15 plus.
Was it?
So, 15 plus.
In what sense were you underperforming then?
Well, he wasn't writing anything. He just put his name at the top of the page and just wasn't writing anything. Yeah. And I was shocked because this was the same lad that was coming home and reading 40 pages of Harry Potter.
That's interesting.
Night.
Is that about the or Artemis Fowl? Artemis Fowl, even. Was that about engagement then, Lucas, within the school? Was it one thing being Lucas at home and an entirely different thing being Lucas at school?
Absolutely, yeah. It was a completely different environment. At home, it was my family, my friends, people I knew that I knew cared about me and that I really enjoyed being around. At school, it was it was quite frightening because all the people around me, well, I'd say most of the people around me were, you know, joining in with the bullying and teasing and stuff, and I was having to take part in lessons with them, and I couldn't function.
So what was the turning point? What changed for you?
It was in year five at the age of about 10. I'd had it for the whole of my primary school. And it was a particularly bad day. I can't remember what was going on, but I was very distressed about it all. And at that point, I just thought, you know, forget this, I'm going home. So I literally just walked out of the front gate and walked home. And that was, I came home to my parents and I said that I'd had a really horrible day and I didn't want to go back to that school. So what my mum and dad did was they took me out of the school, homeschooled me for a few months, and they got involved with the Changing Faces charity. And they gave me help and advice and the tools to cope with bullying and how I'd, you know, sort out what was going on.
Yeah.
And they also got involved with my secondary school so that they had...
they were prepared for you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's about education as well, within the school itself and talking to the teachers and making sure they understand and how to deal with it properly.
We didn't expect the reactions that we were getting from other people. We didn't know how to cope. The school didn't know how to cope. And it was after getting the report from the psychologist, which said that Lucas was able, but he was in an oppressive environment, that we, as parents, felt empowered enough that it wasn't our fault, it wasn't Lucas's fault, it was everybody else's fault, their reactions, and at that point...
You didn't ever think it was your fault, did you?
Well, if you're parents, you know, why has this happened? Is it a genetic problem? Could something have happened during the pregnancy? Could it... you know, it's a natural reaction, isn't it, to think? And obviously, if you're born... and you look different, you think, you know, is it my fault?
Are you encouraged, Lucas, by, I think, the success of the Paralympics in particular? Because it seems to me that since then, we've had, all of a sudden, we're seeing people with facial disfigurements or who look different in some kind or another, all of a sudden stepping onto podiums and being the object of all our eyes and our interest and our praise. And I wonder if there's a sort of benefit in that that's going to come to people like you with a facial disfigurement.
Yeah, definitely. I think that if there's more people with facial disfigurements in the public media that people can see and get used to, then people aren't going to have as strong a reaction. They're going to think, that's normal, I've seen them on TV, that is no big deal.
And I wonder whether everybody has a role in that, including writers, Owen Colfer, because it's often been the case that in books, people with facial disfigurements are the bad guys.
The villains.
And the villains.
I think that used to be the way, and... the James Bond books, I think, especially, there was always some kind of disfigurement. And I just like to say, as a teacher and dad, you guys are amazing. You're so brave and you're so down to earth. And I don't know how I'd cope. I don't know if I could cope like you guys. So just well done and keep going.
Yeah, thanks. Well done and keep going. And keep going to talk to people as well. Because, I mean, what a difficult journey you've had. And now here you are with so much confidence and skill.
Lucas was with Seb Coe the other day. He came round to the college 2012 Legacy because Lucas was a torchbearer, being nominated by the school for the way he stood up and wanted to show everybody else his experiences so that he could tell other people like him that they're not alone.
Yes.
And Lucas is going on to the grammar school to give a talk again for, you know, with the 2012 Legacy. And as like you were saying about the disabled people, after the Olympics, people are thinking, hey, you know, disabilities are not completely going to wipe these guys out when they're performing like this. You know, there are people inside there and they're doing some amazing things.
He's very proud of you, your dad, isn't he?
Yeah.
And rightly so.
He's got a lot to say.
Thank you both. I do hope you stay with us. Thank you for joining us this morning. What courage and love Lucas and his father are showing, says one texter. Do keep them coming in at BBC Radio 4, hashtag Saturday Live. You can email us, saturdaylive@bbc.co.uk, or you can text us 84844.
And you can find out much more about the Changing Faces charity on our website. And of course, James Partridge, who founded that charity, is a frequent visitor to this.
And actually, it also has things like, it has your photo gallery, doesn't it? And it has your online story and interests and your campaign scrapbook. So lots more about Lucas there. Thank you.
This is Saturday Live with Sian Williams and Richard Coles. We're joined this morning by the author Owen Colfer, poet Luke Wright, and of course, Lucas and Leighton Hayward.